This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Have you ever wondered if you are truly loved by another person? Well, on this special weekend, we will talk about someone who loves us even more than anyone else, even our own mothers. Please stay with us.
We begin this service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks this day for the many blessings you have poured out upon us. On this Mother's Day weekend, we especially pause to give thanks for faithful, loving mothers who gave us life and nurtured us along the way in all areas of life. During this Easter season, we also praise you and thank you for the goodness and grace you've shown us in the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from John, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 16. Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to that which is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription because of the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in the Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. And the chief priests and Jews said to Pilate, don't write the King of the Jews, but this man said, I'm the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now, the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it. This was to fulfill what Scripture says. They divided my clothes among themselves, and my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, woman, here's your son. Then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Dear friends, someone shared with me a while back a story of how years ago he'd seen a newscast about a big Vietnam veterans parade in Chicago. Part of the commemoration was a mobile version of the Vietnam Wall. Like the original, it bore the names of all the soldiers who had died in Vietnam. The newscaster that was there asked one of the vets why he had come all the way to Chicago to visit this memorial and to participate in the parade. The soldier looked straight into the face of that reporter and with tears in his eyes said, because of this man right here. As the soldier talked, he was pointing to the name of a friend that was etched in that wall. He traced the letters of his friend's name in the wall and continued to answer the reporter by saying, "This man right here gave his life for me. He gave his life for me." As the news clip ended, the soldier stood there tracing the name of his friend with his finger. It was hard for him to get his heart and mind around the sacrifice of his friend, so he kept retracing the story. Every Holy Week on Good Friday in our congregation, I insist that we reread the whole passion story of Christ. People ask me, why do we keep doing it? Because it's our opportunity to retrace the whole story of someone who gave his life for you and me, so that we might never grow dull or indifferent to Christ's death for us and the suffering and agony he went through for you and me. It's true, it is a gruesome story. We only read the last part today, but if you, on your own, went back and began at chapter 18, you would be sickened to read of the cruelties inflicted on this individual, Jesus, the violence which is described and the hatred and the disappointing behavior of all the characters in this horror story. It's humanity at its worst. There's no virtue to be found in anyone in this story but one, Jesus. But behind all of this violence and suffering, we need to be reminded that this isn't simply a gruesome story about humanity's worst. It's a love story about God's best. You see, the story began at a tree in the Garden of Eden, as Adam and Eve were being driven from the garden for breaking God's laws and God's heart as well. And now here we are in this chapter 19 of John's Gospel, standing at another tree, and God is doing something very, very important for us through his Son, Jesus. John the Apostle, years later, wrote about this. He was there to see the whole thing. And he writes in chapter 4 of his first letter near the end of the New Testament, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." The crucifixion story is a love story. An atoning sacrifice was taking place, sent from God to us, a gift of love, to atone for our sins. To atone, break that up into at one. He came to make us at one with God. Billy Graham says, "When we preach atonement, it is atonement planned by love, provided by love, given by love, finished by love, necessitated because of love." He came as a gift of love to make atonement, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because as we see in this story, there's something very wrong with this world. As we see betrayal and denial and cruelty and torture and sarcasm and jealousy and lying and scheming and murder and moral weakness in this passion story, it just turns your stomach. And we might reason, well, haven't we evolved from this? Absolutely not. Read the news. Look inside yourself. The Bible is true when it says all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. G.K. Chesterton, the famous theologian, was once reading an article in a newspaper entitled "What's Wrong with the World?" And he sent a short letter to the editor in response. It read as follows: "Dear Sir, regarding your article, What's Wrong with the World? I am, Yours truly, G.K. Chesterton. What's wrong with this world? I am. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and it's a dead end. The wages of sin is death. And so the suffering and death of Jesus on that Good Friday for us is an atoning act where he is healing the broken relationship between God and ourselves. He is taking our punishment upon himself, standing in our place, suffering what I was supposed to suffer. What wondrous love is this? And on the third day, God raised him up and affirmed that sacrifice. It was a sacrifice of love for you and for me. On this Mother's Day, of course, I can't help but remember this story of sacrificial love of a mother. On August 16th, 1987, Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed just after taking off from a Detroit airport, killing 155 people. One survived, a four-year-old from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. News accounts say when rescuers found Cecilia, they didn't believe that she had been in the plane. Investigators first assumed Cecilia had been a passenger in one of the cars in the highway onto which the airliner crashed, but when the passenger register for the flight was checked, there was Cecilia's name. She survived because even as the plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her little girl, wrapped her arms and body around Cecilia, and would not let her go. Nothing could separate that child from her parents' love, neither tragedy nor disaster, neither the fall nor the flames that followed, neither height nor depth, neither life nor death. Such is the love of the Savior for us, who left heaven and covered us with his atoning sacrifice of his own body to save us. Dear friends, as someone once said, here's the good news, the gospel. When you look at that cross, you're more sinful than you ever dared believe, but you're more loved than you ever dared hope. God loves us. No. Make that a little more personal. God loves you. And you need not question that any longer. There's a fellow who's written some books that I really enjoy. His name is Brennan Manning. He's a Christian author, an evangelist. He has an amazing story about how he got his name, Brennan. While growing up, his best friend was Ray. The two of them did everything together. They bought a car together as teenagers. They double dated together. They went to school together and so on. They even enlisted in the army together. They went to boot camp together and fought on the front lines together. One night while sitting in a foxhole, Brennan was reminiscing about the good old days in Brooklyn. While Ray listened and ate his chocolate bar, suddenly a live grenade came into the foxhole. Ray looked at Brennan, smiled, dropped his chocolate bar, and threw himself on the live grenade. It exploded, killing Ray, but Brennan's life was spared. Years later, when Brennan became a priest, he was instructed to take on the name of a saint. He thought of his friend, Ray Brennan. So he took on the name Brennan. Years later, he went to visit Ray's mother in Brooklyn. They sat up late one night having tea, reminiscing, when Brennan asked her, "Do you think Ray loved me?" Mrs. Brennan got up off the couch and shook her finger in front of Brennan's face and shouted, "What more could he have done for you?" Brennan said that at that moment, he experienced an epiphany. He imagined himself standing before the cross of Jesus, still wondering, does God really love me? And Jesus' mother Mary pointing to her son, saying, what more could he have done for you? The cross of Jesus is God's way of doing all he could for us. He loves you. He loves you. A distressed father sat at the bedside of his comatose son, who was hurt playing basketball. At a crucial point in the game, the 16-year-old lunged for an errant pass that was going out of bounds. And as he toppled over a spectator's chair, one of its legs caught him in the stomach and damaged some vital organs. Because he felt little pain, the team continued to play the game's final minutes, but he was hemorrhaging internally. By the time the pain grew enough to warrant a trip to the hospital, it was almost too late. The doctors worked frantically to save the boy, but the outcome was uncertain. Though the son eventually recovered, those awful hours of waiting for the slightest signs of recovery forced family members to ask questions they'd never before faced. The father was alone on the bedside shift one evening when his pastor visited. Trembling with emotion, the father asked, "Will God kill my son to punish me for my sin?" "No," said the pastor, searching for words that would comfort and grant renewed trust in God. He said, "The Lord's not punishing your son for your sin." He couldn't, because God punished his son for your sin. He loves us. He gave his son to be an atoning sacrifice so that we could be put back into a restored relationship with him. There's an old hymn that I love to sing that puts the suffering love of Jesus into a personal perspective. When I survey the wondrous cross, there's a line in there that says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." The suffering of Jesus on that cross, the love of the Father, calls for a personal response from you and me. After all, it was for us that he suffered. He loved us. He died for us. He did his part, and he invites us to accept his suffering and sacrificial love. Call it belief. You can call it trust. That's what he's looking for. But however we describe that response, we're basically telling God in it that we say goodbye to our sins and trust Jesus for eternal life. Allow me to ask you a personal question. Have you ever done that? I want to give you that opportunity today. I want us to be sure we all know exactly how to respond. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Speak to God about your relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to use the words of a simple prayer of faith. It goes like this: "Jesus, thank you for suffering and dying for me. Thank you for taking the punishment for my sin. I believe in you. I accept what you did. I give you my life in gratitude and what you did for me. Please be my Savior from sin and the Lord of my life now and forever. Amen." If this prayer represents your faith in Jesus, I invite you now to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray these words to God with me. You can repeat them. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for suffering and dying for me. Thank you for taking the punishment for my sin. I believe in you. I accept what you did. I give you my life in gratitude for what you did for me. Please be my Savior from sin and the Lord of my life, now and forever. Amen. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You are loved. Amen. Father, you truly do love us. We thank you for your deep, deep, abiding love shown us at the cross. Help us to always trust in that love and to build our lives upon it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May He go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has filled you with a peace and joy that is yours as you trust Jesus Christ as your Redeemer and Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have need to listen. Now, if you enjoyed today's program, we invite you to help support this ministry with your prayers and financial gifts. All donations to this ministry are considered tax-deductible. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. The theme of the next issue is on grace. Now, if you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Or send us an email at cc@naz.org. CDs and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's program is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Be sure to check us out on the web at christiancrusaders.org. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio pastor on Christian Crusaders, now in its 77th year of broadcasting biblical truth.